Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Ayin. Today's daf has been dedicated to Einu Nishmat, Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam, and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning today's daf on some Mechtet Amud Bet, the Mishnah, the bottom of the daf, seven lines from the bottom. Now, just to give a quick introduction so we can understand the concepts of the Mishnah. Of course, till now we were talking about the Korban Pesachim that was brought on Yud Dalid Nisan, Erev Pesach. There was another Korban that was brought with the Korban Pesach, and that was a Korban Hagigah. That was called Hagigat Yud Dalid, the Hagigah that was brought on the 14th. Our Mishnah is going to give us some of the different conditions when that Korban Hagigah was brought and when it was not. Meaning, the Korban Pesach was non-negotiable. It was always brought under all circumstances, unless, as we learned, an individual was Tameh, or a Tzibur in certain situations. For example, if they were Teme'e, Zavin, or Metzora'in. In any event, today we learn about the Hagigah of Yud Dalid. Now that shouldn't be confused with the Hagigah of Tetvav, because there was another Hagigah Korban that was brought on Yom Tov itself. That was the Hagigah of Yom Tov, and that would be the Basar, the meat that the people would eat on the Yom Tov. It was Basar of Korban Hagigah, which is like a Korban Shelamim. Furthermore, there was a third Korban that was brought on Yom Tov, and that was called Shalme Simcha. Those were Korban Shelamim of Simcha, which means in order to provide additional meat for eating, if there wasn't enough, so they would bring these additional Korbanot. So basically, there are four Korbanot that were discussed here. You have the Korban Pesach, the Hagigat Yud Dalid, Hagigat Tedvah, that's the Yom Tov itself, and the Shalme Simcha that were brought on the holiday itself. And our Mishnah begins. When do we bring a Korban Hagigah with the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan? Bizman Shehu Ba Behol. First of all, when the 14th falls out during the week, which means you do not bring Hagigat Yud Dalid on a Shabbat. Number two, Betahora. That's only talking about where the Kahal, the people, and the Kohanim are Tehorim. Ubimu'at, and it's talking about when there was Mu'at, which means minimal, meaning the Korban Pesach wasn't big. The Korban Pesach that they slaughtered, let's say a certain group that slaughtered the Korban Pesach, was a small Korban, and therefore there would not be enough meat for all the group to eat and be satiated. The Torah says that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten ala sava. It has to be eaten satiated, on a full stomach. So therefore, if you have a small Korban Pesach and a lot of eaters, so then each one's going to get a small piece. So they're not going to be satiated. So what they would do is they would bring a Hagigah on Yud Dalid, and they would eat the Korban Hagigah first. They would get close to full, and then they would be able to eat the Korban Pesach on a full stomach. So again, ubimu'at, it means when the Korban Pesach is small, and that there's not enough meat in the Qurban in order to satiate all the members of the group that are accounted for it. Ubizman shehu ba'be Shabbat. However, if the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbat, or bimrubeh, or let's say you have a lot of meat from the Qurban Pesach in order to satiate the entire group without having to add more meat, ubetum'ah, or if let's say the majority of the sibur are teme'im, or the kohanim are teme'im, which even though you bring the Qurban Pesach betum'ah, you do not bring Qurban Hagigah. The Mishnah says, en nevi'in emo Hagigah. And the Gemara will explain the reason why to all these conditions. And the Mishnah continues, Hagiga haita ba'a min hatzon umin abakar. So Korban Hagiga, you could either bring it from tzon ubakar, min hakevasim umin ha'izim, from keves, that would be the sheep, or min ha'izim, or the goats, which means when the Torah tells us, or when the Mishnah says minatzon, it's explaining what is tzon. Tzon is kevasim and izim. But for that matter, it's not limited to those smaller animals. Can we also be brought from bakar, minazecharim umin hanekebot, and furthermore, hagigah can be brought from the male animals and the female animals. Unlike Korban Pesach, Korban Pesach is only brought from Tzon, and it is only brought from Zecharim. Now, v'ne'echelet l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. Furthermore, the Hagigah of Yud Dalet has longer eating time. It's eaten for 2 days and one night, meaning you can eat it on the 15th and the following night, which means you have Yud Dalet, that would be day one, and you have Tet Vav, would be day two, and then you have the night in between. So that would be 2 days and one night. Not like Korban Pesach, as we know, that can only be eaten that night. And then by the morning, the leftovers have to be burned. So we just saw the difference between Hagigat Yud Dalet and Korban Pesach. And the Gemara now asks, Mai tana deketani hagiga. From where did the Tana of our Mishnah start to talk about Korban Hagigah? Meaning, what was the segue? Until now, we've been talking about the laws of Korban Pesach, and all of a sudden, the Mishnah just starts off. Ema time evi hagigaimo. When do you bring hagigah with it? Who was talking about Korban Hagigah? What was the introduction, so to speak? So the Gemara says the introduction was from the last Mishnah. Tana, in the last Mishnah we learned, Harkabato va'avato. We learned that carrying the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach Shechal Yod B'Shabbat, carrying it, that's Harkabato va'avato, bringing it outside the tchum, we learned de lo dache Shabbat, that these items are not doche Shabbat. Also, once we already discussed certain parts of the Korban Pesach that are not doche Shabbat, v'ketani name hagiga delo dachya Shabbat. So then we're throwing in another item that's not doche Shabbat. The hagigat yudalit is also not doche Shabbat. V'hachi kamar. Therefore, the Mishnah says, ema taimi v'inimo hagiga. When do you bring a hagiga? Bizman shuba bechol. Only when Erev Pesach is on the weekday, betahara, when the people are teorim, ubmu'at, and when there is a small amount of basar of Korban Pesach for the group, where you need to subsidize it with a Korban Hagigah. Amar Rav Asher says, Shma'mina, we could learn from this Mishnah, Hagigat Arba Asar, that the Hagigah that's brought on the 14th, Lav Hovahi, it is not mandatory. What do you mean it's not mandatory? It's only voluntary. Because the isal kadatach chovai. Because if you wanted to tell me that it's a mandatory korban, tite b'Shabbat, so then you have to bring it on Shabbat, which means there should be no exceptions. V'tite b'mrubeh, and you should also bring it even if you have a lot of meat from the Korban Pesach, and you should also bring it betum'ah, just like the Korban Pesach itself, which means any Korban that has a set time to it, for example, like Korban Pesach has a set time on the 14th, pushes away Shabbat, pushes away Tum'ah, and therefore if Korban Hagiga was a Chovah, it should push away Shabbat, Dochei Shabbat, it should also be Dochei Tum'ah. From the fact that you see it doesn't, so therefore it's not a Chovah. Now what does not a Chovah mean? So someone is saying that there's no mitzvah min Torah. This Hagiga Yudalit, it's a takana of Hakamim. What's the takana of the Hakamim? Because they want you to eat the Korban Pesach ala soba. They want you to eat it on a full stomach. And that's the way the Mefarshim bring down. Other Mefarshim want to say that no, that Korban Hagigat Yudalit indeed is a mitzvah from the Torah. However, it is not a, when it says it's not a chovah, meaning it's a reshut, meaning it's not a mitzvah on its own, which means the Torah didn't tell you to bring the Korban Hagigah per se for itself. It's only in order to eat the Korban Pesach on a full stomach. So therefore, since it's not coming for itself, so therefore it's not a chovah in that sense. Now, the Gemara says, "Ubemuat mihu maitama atya." So why do you bring the Korban Hagigah if you have a small amount of meat from your Korban Pesach? Again, you have to figure the cases, meaning you have a small sheep and you have a lot of eaters in the group, and therefore each one barely will get a kezayit, which is the minimum amount. So what's the reason why you bring a Hagigah bemuat? Because we have a bright, the Hagigah ba'arim ha-Pesach, the Hagigah that's brought with Korban Pesach, ne'echelet techila, you eat the Hagigah first, k'deshiya Pesach ne'echal ala sova, in order that the Korban Pesach will be eaten on a full stomach. And therefore when there's not enough Pesach to go around to be satiated from it, like I said, you have to subsidize it with a supplement it, should be the right word. Say supplement it with the Korban Hagigah in order to get full, and then you would eat the Korban Pesach. Now the question might be, why does one have to eat the Korban Pesach on a full stomach? That she later on explains, because when you eat a Korban, you have to eat it derech gedula vechavod, which means you have to eat it in a important, special, royal way. And the way people that are hashuv eat, they never eat on an empty stomach. They usually have food in their systems already. They eat it, you know, in a grand way. And therefore you have to eat the Hagigah first. Tosfot brings from the Yerushalmi another reason why one cannot eat the Pesach before being satiated. Because we have a law that says ve'etzim lo tishberu bo, that we're not allowed to break a bone from the Korban Pesach. And therefore the concern was, if a person is very hungry at the time he eats the Pesach, he might be so hungry that he could come to break a bone off in order to eat it quickly. And therefore, in order to make sure that he doesn't break a bone off, we want him to eat it, you know, calmly, so he doesn't come to break a bone and he'd be all there. So therefore they tell him that he has to eat it ala sova. Therefore when there's not enough meat from the Pesach, so we supplement it with the Korban Hagigah. Those are the two reasons why it's ne'echal ala sova. The Mishnah said, v'ne'echelet l'shnei yamim. Our Mishnah said that the Hagigah Yudalit is eaten for 2 days and one night. But nitin de'lo keben tema. Our Mishnah is not like Ben Tema. Detanya, Ben Tema Omer, Ben Tema said, Hagigah ba'im Pesach. The Hagigah that comes with the Korban Pesach on the 14th, Harehi ke Pesach. It is indeed like the Korban Pesach. Ve'ena ne'echelet ela ne'yom v'layla. It's only eaten for the same duration that Korban Pesach is eaten. That's yom v'layla. Meaning on the day of the 14th and the subsequent night. V'hagigat chamisha asar. Furthermore, the hagigah that was brought on the 15th, meaning that's the hagigah that's brought on the Yom Tov itself, like all the holidays, all the Shalosh Regalim, you have to bring a hagigah. Ne'echelet l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. That is like a regular korban shelamim, which you get 2 days and one night. So there's a difference between hagigat yudalid according to Ben Tema and hagigat tedvav. The hagigat arba asar and the hagigat that you designated for the 14th. Let's say you designated, but you never ended up bringing it, which means you delayed it and you didn't bring it on Erev Pesach. So the deen is yotze ba mishum simha. You're allowed to use it as one of your shalmei simha for the next day. As I explained, on Yom Tov itself, you brought two korbanot. You brought a korban hagigah, and you also brought what was called shalmei simcha. So the chiddush is that a hagigah that was designated for yudalid, even though it was earmarked for a korban, you can bring it for a different korban the next day. I mean, you can use it for your shalmei simcha ve'ein yotze ba mishum hagigah. But you can't use a korban that was designated for hagigat yudalid for hagigat tetvav. And the reason is because when you bring an obligatory korban, it must come from chulin. It must come from an animal that is does not have an obligation on it. And you cannot fulfill one obligation with another obligation. And therefore, here you had an obligation to bring the hagigat yudalid. So you can't use the hagigat yudalid to bring a hagigat tetvav. Two different obligations. The Kedusha of the Gemara is, however, that to fulfill the obligation of shalmei simcha, it is permissible to use hagigat yudalid. We can read Rashi over here on the third line to see why this is so. Yotze ba mishum simcha. Im akeva ad lemachar. If let's say you delayed the korban until the next day, meaning you didn't bring the hagigat yudalid on erev Pesach v'shachata, yotze ba mishum simcha, meaning mishum shalmei simcha. Even though it was designated for another korban, kvar the shalmei simcha chovayin, and even though shalmei simcha is an obligation, the had the kaimalan kol davar shebechovah eno ba elam minachodin. Even though we have a rule that any obligation can only come from freed up basar, I mean, it cannot come from another obligation. Ketanya besefri vezabachta pesach. It says in the pasuk, you shall bring korban pesach. Ad son ubakar. It says in the pasuk by Pesach, son ubakar. So the Gemara asks, and I'm reading in Nashi, v'halo en Pesach ba'elam min hakevasim min ha'azim. What do you mean? Pesach only comes from tzon, meaning sheep or goats. Im ken nama ne'emar bakar. So why does the pasuk by Pesach say the word bakar? La'kish kol haba mitzon ubakar le'pesach. To teach you that the law of Pesach that's brought by tzon is similar to all the other korbanot that are brought by bakar. And what's the similarity? Ma pesach davar shu chova. Just like pesach was an obligation, ve'eno ba'ela menachodin can only come from freed up animal, non-sanctified animals. Afkad shu chova, ve'eno ba'ela menachodin. So to any obligation can only come up from a freed animal that was not earmarked for something else. Hanimili bechovot de'alma. Yes, that's only by other obligations. Aval shalmei simcha. But when it comes to shalmei simcha, itrabe b'masichat hagigah, we have an inclusion in masichat hagigah, meditanya b'sefri v'samachta. When it says in the pasuk, v'samachta b'chagecha lerabot kol mine simcha, which means anything that will cause simcha, even an animal that was designated for one obligation, can be used for shalmei simcha. Ya'chol af be'ofot u'menachot. Can you even use chicken or meal offerings to fulfill this mitzvah of simcha? Tamud omar b'chagecha. Samachta b'chagecha teaches you mish hagigah ba'amen. Only items that would normally be kosher for korban hagigah, which would be tzon u'bakar, yatzu ofot. Right, but ofot cannot be used for hagigah. Mikan amru, from here we learned Yisrael yotzin yedei chovatan bindarim v'nedabot. From here we learned that a Jew can even use it, a neder or a nedaba, meaning items that we earmarked already as obligatory, afagav demechuyav v'omedu, and he can use them for his obligation of shalmei simcha. So that is the chiddush of Ben Tema. So again, let's review. Ben Tema holds that the Korban Hagigah that comes on the 14th is similar to the Korban Pesach in the sense that it is only eaten Leyom Valayla. It only has the same duration of eating as the Korban Pesach. My Tama de Ben Tema. What's the reason of Ben Tema? Kedemat ni Rav Lechaya Bereh. Like Rav taught his son Haya. Says the pasuk, "Velo yalin aboker zevach hagapasa." That says regarding the Korban Pesach, one cannot leave it over till the morning. But it says on the pasuk, doesn't say "Velo yalin haPesach adaboker." It says "Velo yalin aboker zevach hagapasa." So those words "zevach hag" are extra. So the Gemara says "zevach hag ze hagiga." When it says Zevach Chag, it's referring to Korban Chagigah, the 14th. HaPasach, kemashmaro. Of course, the word Pesach means Korban Pesach. Ve'amar Rahmana lo yalin. And the Torah is saying lo yalin. Meaning what? You cannot leave it over. So therefore he learns from the extra pasuks, ve'lo yalin. Laboker Zevach Chag. HaPasach, to teach me that the Korban Chagigah and the Pesach are similar in the times that you're allowed to eat it. Comes the Gemara now and wants to discuss other similarities that the Korban Pesach and the Korban Hagigat Yudalid would have. We had a question. The Ben Tema, according to Ben Tema, Ne'echelet Sali, or Eno Ne'echelet Sali, which means, do we also compare the Hagigat to Korban Pesach that it has to be eaten roasted? I mean, just like Korban Pesach is eaten roasted, does the Hagigat Yudalid also have to be eaten roasted? Ki aksher rahmana le pesach lelina. Maybe the Torah only compares Korban Pesach, the Hagigat to Korban Pesach le'inyan, the time that you can eat it. Aval etzali lo. But maybe not to the concept of roasting. Or dilma lo shena. Or maybe there's no difference. Tashema. So the Gemara comes to bring a proof. Later on, the Gemara says that one of the questions that they would ask at the night of the Seder during the Manishtana was that all other nights of the year we eat roasted meat or cooked meat. However, alayla ze kulo tzali. Tonight we eat all roasted. Ve'amar Rav Chasda said that that Mishnah that says that that's one of the questions that we eat all roasted, zu devre ben tema. That's the words of ben tema. Shma minna, so we learn from there, we mean all roasted, that means all the meat of that night is roasted. Must be that the Korban Hagigah as well is roasted, so therefore we answered that question. That what? Indeed, it does have to be roasted like the Korban Pesach. Next question, we ask another question according to Ben Tema. Ba'am and a Bakar, can the Hagigah Yudal come from Bakar like other Shilamim? Or Eno Ba'am and a Bakar? Or maybe cannot come from Bakar, meaning can only come from Kevasim or Izim. Next question. Ba'am and a Nekevot, can it come from female animals like a Shilamim? Or Eno Ba'am and a Nekevot? Or maybe it's like Pesach, it can only come from Zecharim. Ba'abat Shte Shanim. Can it come from an animal that's 2 years old, like a regular Korban Shilamim, or Ena Ba Bach Teshnim, or cannot come only from a 1 year old, like a Pesach? So the Gemara says, Ki Akshay Rahman al Pesach, Demidi da Akhira. Maybe the only comparisons between Korban Pesach and the Hagigah are the Inyan laws that apply to eating it. For example, how long you have to eat it, velo yalin, and the way you eat it, meaning roasted. Aval lechol mi lilo, or maybe for everything else, they're not similar. Or dilma lo shena, or maybe even in this there is no difference. So the Gemara says, Tashema, Hagigah ba'im pesach. The Hagigah that comes with the Pesach, hare hi ka pesach. It is indeed like the Pesach. Ba'am in a tzon, ve'eno ba'am in a bakar. Ba'am in a zecharim, ve'ena ba'am in a nekevot. Ba'a bat shenata, ve'ena ba'a bat shetashanim. Ve'ena ne'echelet, ela liyom v'layla. Ve'ena ne'echelet, ela tzali. Ve'ena ne'echelet, ela limnuyeha. Therefore we have a braita that's clearly making a very strong comparison between Korban Pesach and Korban Chagigah, that they're similar in all the laws. Even the last law that we just said, that they also can only be eaten to members that were assigned to it in its group, just like Korban Pesach. Man shamat de'it le'ay sevara. Who must be the author of this braita that holds that there's a connection between Pesach and Chagigah? Ben Tema. We know it's already Ben Tema. Shema mina kullihu milta ba'inan. From here we learn that all items were compared to the Chagigah, and therefore it needs all these conditions. Shema mina, proof positive. Iba'inu. Gemara goes to the next question. The Ben Tema. According to Ben Tema, Yesh ba mishum shevirat aitzim, or en ba mishum shevirat aitzim, the law of breaking a bone, as we learned that by Korban Pesach, the pasuk says ve aitzim lotish berubo, you're not allowed to break a bone of the Korban Pesach. Does that law apply also to the Korban Chagigah? Now, afagav de akesha rachamana de Pesach. So I can tell you that even though the Torah does compare the Korban Chagigah to the Korban Pesach, Amar Kera, the pasuk, however, says bo, they love the Chagigah. Maybe I'll tell you, ve'etzem lo tishberu bo. From the word bo, it's coming to exclude and say the only time that the law of ve'etzem and breaking a bone applies is to Pesach. Ve'etzem lo tishberu bo, but maybe to Chagigah it's permissible. O dilma, maybe no, maybe hay bo bechasher velo bepasul udata. Or maybe no, it's not coming to exclude Chagigah, it's coming to exclude a Korban Pesach that got pasul, for example, it got tamer. So in that case over here, you have no problem of shivirat etzim, meaning the etzim not tishberu bo, maybe only by Pesach kasher. But Pesach that became pasul, there's no law of etzim not tishberu bo. So therefore that's the question of the Gemara. Does the law of etzim apply to etzim not tishberu bo, apply to the Chagigah according to Ben Tema? So now the Gemara is going to bring a proof for this. Tashema, we have a Mishnah in Masechet Shekalim. Tashema, Sakin Shenimtzet Be'arba Arasar. You have a knife of Shechita, that they found it, it surfaced on the 14th of Nisan, meaning Erev Pesach, and you don't know if the knife is Tehora or not. Now the guy wants to use the knife to slaughter his Korban Pesach, but you can only use a knife that is obviously Tehora. So what does he do? The Mishnah says over there, Shochet Bamiyad. You could slaughter your Korban Pesach with that knife immediately, which means you don't have to dip the knife Mesefik. Why? Because you could assume that if it was Teme'ah, the owners dipped it on the 13th of Nisan. Why? Because the law is when you dip something like that, like this knife, it's not enough to dip it. You have to wait until the evening passes. That's called the Erev Shemesh, then it becomes kasher. So on the 14th, if a guy wanted to use his knife for the 14th, that means he must have dipped it on the 13th in the mikveh. He waited that night, and therefore it's permissible already to use. So therefore, when you find the knife on the 14th, you could assume it was dipped. However, if you find the knife on the 13th of Nisan, and you have a sefek, if the owner's dipped it or not, shone umatbil, then already you have to dip it again. Why? Because the owners might not have dipped it, because technically they could wait until right before sunset on the 13th to dip it. And then right when it becomes sunset, they have the Erev Shemesh, and the night becomes Taor. So therefore, since they had time to dip it, so could be when you found it, it wasn't dipped yet. So if it was Sefek, you would have to dip it again. Now that's the law of a knife. So again, regarding a knife, a Sakin, there's a difference if you found it on the 14th or the 13th. If you found it on the 14th, you could assume it was dipped from the day before. If you found it on the 13th, you have to assume that it was not dipped yet. Therefore, you'd have to re-dip it. Kofis. Kofis would be, let's say, a big knife, usually used for cutting meat and cutting through the bone of the animal, not for shechita. That's called a kofits. Ben bazeh u ben bazeh shone u matbil. So the Mishnah says whether you find it on the 13th or you find it on the 14th of Nisan, you still have to dip it again. Now,
put in the mikveh again. What's the logic? Why, if you find it, let's say, on the 14th, you still have to dip it again? Because since Korban Pesach, you can't break bones, so therefore, the guy doesn't need the kofitz even on the 14th. There's no purpose in him to have the kofitz, because he's not cutting any bones. And therefore, we have to assume that he didn't dip it, even to be prepared for the 14th. And therefore, if anything, he needs it for the 15th. Because on the 15th, he brings his hagigah. Now everybody agrees the hagigah of the 15th, he could break bones. So therefore, you have to assume even on the 14th, he didn't dip it yet. And he's planning on waiting to, let's say, to the 14th, right before sunset, and the guy would have dipped it. And then it'll be ready with Ha'adev Shemesh for the 15th. So again, by a kofitz, it doesn't matter whether you found it on the 13th or the 14th, since he's not cutting any bones, so you have to assume that it was not dipped. Mani. So the Gemara says, who's the author of this Mishnah? If you're coming to tell me it's the opinion of the rabbis that say that the Hagigav Yudalid, you're allowed to cut the bone. Right? They say that the law is only by Korban Pesach you don't cut the bones. But the rabbis held that by Hagigah you don't make the similarities, and therefore you can't cut the bone. Mai shena sakin de matbil. Why do you assume on the 14th that the knife was dipped? The Hazya le Pesach. Because the guy wants to use it for his Korban Pesach. Therefore you assume he dipped it on the 13th. Kofitz nameh ha Hazya le Hagigah. The Kofitz also on the 14th. You should assume that it's dipped because he probably dipped it on the 13th in order to have it prepared, in order to cut the bones of his hagigah. El alav de ben temai. Must be that this Mishnah is going like ben tema, that says that you're not allowed to cut the bones of the hagigah as well. Ushma mina yesh bo mishum shevirat ha'etzem. And therefore, since we're learning that there is shevirat ha'etzem laws that apply to the hagigah, so when you find it on the 14th, you have to assume that it was not dipped to kofitz either, because what are you dipping it for? You can't cut the bones of the Pesach. According to Ben Tema, you can't cut the bones of the Hagigah as well. So therefore, proof positive that this Mishnah is telling us that according to Ben Tema, cutting the bones also by a Hagigah is forbidden. The Gemara says, no. I could learn that the Mishnah is not going like Ben Tema. Le'olam Rabbanan. Really, I'll tell you that this Mishnah is going like the rabbis. They really hold that you can break the bones of a hagigah. Oh, if you can break the bones of a hagigah, so then why, when you find it on the 14th, don't you assume that it was dipped? If you can break the bones, when you find it on the 14th, you have to assume that it was dipped on the 13th in order to use it to break the bones of the hagigah on the 14th. Why then does it say if you found it on the 14th, you still have to re-dip it? We're talking about where the 14th fell out on Shabbat. As we learned in our Mishnah, you don't bring a Hagigah on Shabbat. And since you don't bring a Hagigah on Shabbat, there is no purpose to use the Kofitz. Because you're not going to need it until the 15th for your Hagigah at Yom Tov. So that's the case of the Mishnah. So at this point, again, the Gemara wants to keep even going according to the Banan, and we're talking about Yidal Chahaliyot B'Shabbat, and that's why you have to assume it was not dipped, because he's not going to dip it the day before on the 13th, because he's not going to need it on Shabbat, because there is no Hagigah. Therefore, he's not going to need it to cut any bones. Therefore, you'd have to dip it again if you'd want to use it. You know, we're talking about where you found this kofitz. Kibbutz says, wait, how could you explain that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about where the 14th fell on Shabbat? V'hamidiketani sefa. The end of that Mishnah said the following: Hal arba asal yod b'Shabbat. Oh, we have a clear case that if the 14th of Nisan fell out on Shabbat, shochet ba miyad. There, the Mishnah says that you can use the kofitz immediately. Meaning, you found the kofitz on the 14th that fell on Shabbat, you could use it immediately. Why? Because you could assume that vaday the owners dipped it. Why, even though you don't need it until Yom Tov, you don't need it until the 15th, but we know that you're not allowed to dip kelim on Shabbat. Because it looks like a tikkun keli, which is asur midrabanan, you're fixing a keli. So again, if the guy needs the kofitz, well, he doesn't need it for Shabbat. because he's not breaking any bones. Not after Korban Pesach, he's not bringing a Hagigah. But when's the next time he's going to eat the kofitz? On Yom Tov Rishon, when he brings the Hagigah, because you can cut the bones. Now, when is he going to dip this? He cannot dip it on Shabbat, because it's Asur. So he must have dipped it before the holiday. So therefore, the Mishnah clearly says, if the Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat, in the 14th falls out on Shabbat, you don't have to dip the kofitz, because you could assume that it was dipped from before. Furthermore, Bahamisha Asar, if you found, let's say, a kofitz on the 15th, meaning on Yom Tov itself, Shochet Bamiyad, again, you could slaughter it right away, because you assume that you cannot dip something on Yom Tov, so he must have dipped it from before Yom Tov in order to use it on Yom Tov to break the bones of his Hagigah. Now, next, the Nimset Kofitz Keshura L'Sakin, if let's say you found a Kofitz attached to a Sakin, let's say it was tied to the Sakin, Harei Kesakin, then it's like a Sakin, meaning even if you found it, let's say, on the 14th, it appears on a regular weekday, but normally we say that when you find a knife on the 14th, you assume it was dipped. But when you find a kofitz on the 14th on a weekday, you assume that it was not dipped and you'd have to dip it again. However, in the case where the sakin and the kofitz are attached together, the kofitz takes on the din of the sakin, and therefore you assume that when you dip the sakin, you dip the kofitz as well. But what do you see from this Mishnah? You see from the end of this Mishnah that it said that when the 14th comes out on Shabbat, you assume that it was dipped already. So if we discuss the case of Shabbat in the Sefa, Michlal, Dirisha, Lav, Shabbat, Askinan, that means the first case where we talked about the 14th, it was not talking about Shabbat. Oh, and what did the Mishnah say? Mishnah said that if you found a kofitz on the 14th, you have to assume that it was not dipped. So the only way to explain that is what? According to Ben Tema. Why wasn't it dipped? Because you don't need it on the 14th. Because you cannot cut Korban Pesach's bones, nor can you cut the bones of the Hagigah, according to him. So therefore, we go back to explaining that the Mishnah must be like Ben Tema. Now, the Gemara now is going to say, and maybe you're going to try to still force the Mishnah to be like the Rabbanan. Now, the only way you'd be able to explain it to the Rabbanan is the following way. Ve'ela, maybe you'll want to tell me, Sheba Bimruba. Maybe you'll tell me that what? That it's talking about the 14th. Fell on the weekday, like we're forced to say, because the Sefa is talking about when it fell on Shabbat. And we're talking about where there is a lot of meat, and therefore, since there's a lot of meat, there's no need to bring a Korban Hagigah like we learned. Oh, so maybe that's the reason. Meaning, when you find the kofitz on the 14th, you don't have to dip it. Because why? Because could be the owners didn't dip it because they knew they weren't bringing a Hagigah. Why did they know they're not bringing a Hagigah? Because they had a lot of meat in the Korban Pesach. So that's the case of the Mishnah. That when you find the kofitz on the 14th, and it belonged to a group that had a lot of meat, you can assume that what? It was not dipped. Because they weren't bringing a Korban Hagigah. And therefore you have to dip it. So maybe that's the explanation. Meaning the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan, the rabbis, that hold normally you can break the bones of a Hagigah. Oh, so why then when you find the kofitz on the 14th, do you have to dip it? Because we're talking about a case where there was Mirubah, where there was a lot of people in that group, and therefore you could assume that since there was a lot of people, I'm sorry, that there was a lot of meat, I should say, in the Korban Pesach, therefore there was no Korban Hagigah necessary, you could assume that, and therefore you have to assume that they did not dip the kofitz because there was not going to be a Korban Pesach. So maybe that's the case. Gemara says that cannot be the case. How did the owners of the kofitz know on the 13th of Nisan that their group is a small group, that they're going to have a lot of Korban Pesach, and therefore they would not dip the kofitz? which means maybe every second new people can join the group. And therefore, you cannot say that the case is talking about that they didn't dip it because they had a large Korban Pesach in a small group. Because there's no way to know that that's going to remain. Therefore, on the 13th, they would have dipped the kofitz just in case new members get added. Therefore, they're going to have to bring the Korban Chagigah, and therefore they're going to need the kofitz. So therefore, it's difficult to explain the Mishnah that the reason why you have to dip it on the 14th is because we're talking about where it was assumed that Chagigah was not going to be brought. The Gemara says, how would they know that? So the Gemara gives a different option. Ve'ela sheba betumah. Oh, so maybe you'll tell me another scenario that we're talking about a special case where Rov of the Sibur was Teme'im, and we learned that when Rov of the Sibur is Teme'im, well, they bring Korban Pesach, but they don't bring Korban Chagigah, because Korban Chagigah is not brought Betumah. And therefore, I'll tell you that that's when you find it on the 14th, the reason why you don't have to, the reason why you have to dip the kofitz is because since no Chagigah was being brought because it was Rov people betumah, so you have to assume they didn't dip it on the 13th because they knew they were not bringing a chagigah because it was rov tumah. That's why you have to dip it again. Give it us again. Sof minaya da'e. How did the owners of that kofitz know on the 13th that rov sibur is going to be teme'im on the following day? So how did you know that the sibur is going to be exempt from korban chagigah? Give us no. I'll tell you a case how they know. Demit nasi. We're talking about a case where you know the president, the head of the Sanhedrin, died. Now we know that when the president, the head of the Sanhedrin dies, it's a mitzvah for all Bnei Israel to be involved in his burial. And therefore the owners of the kofitz knew that there was not going to be a Korban Chagigah, because they knew Rav Sibur was going to be Teme'im, because we're talking about a case where the Nasi of the Sanhedrin died. So let's stop again, let's analyze this case for a second. That means it was your guy found the kofitz on the 14th. The Mishnah says dip it. Why? Because we're really going according to the rabbis. But the case is talking about where you were not bringing a Korban Chagigah. That's why you have to assume it wasn't dipped. Because there's no bones to cut. Because no Chagigah. Why is there no Chagigah? Because on the 13th, already the owners assumed everybody's going to be Teme'im. And therefore there's not going to be a Chagigah. Therefore there's no reason to dip the kofitz. How did they know Rav Sibur was going to be Teme'im? Because we're talking about where the Nasi of the Sanhedrin died, and therefore we know everybody has to become Tamir for the Nasi, go to the funeral, so therefore they knew. So the Gemara says, wait, what's the case? Demit Nasi Emat. When did the Nasi exactly die? Ilema Demit Mishlosha Asar. If you're saying that they died, he died on the 13th, Sakin Lamali Dematbele. So let's go back to the case of the Sakin. We said if you find the Sakin on the 14th, you assume that it was dipped on the 13th. But hold it. If you're giving me a case over here, the Mishnah, where the Nasi died on the 13th, why then did he dip the knife? Because if it's Rov Sibur Teme'im, you don't need a knife Tahor as well. So that cannot be the case. Because again, the Mishnah said if you find a Sakin on the 14th, you don't have to dip it. Why? Because you assume it was dipped on the 13th to be used on the 14th. However, if you talk about where the Nasi died on the 13th, why would they dip the knife? They know that Rav Sibur is going to be Teme'im, therefore they don't even need a knife. So the Gemara says, Ela Demid Barba'asar. Oh, so you want to tell me that what the Nasi must have died on the 14th. And therefore on the 13th of Nisan, the people still assume that they're going to bring the Korban Pesach Betahara. Therefore, they dip the knife in order that it will be ready for the Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, "Ma'ishin ansekin dematbil u'ma'ishin akofitz de lo matbila." Well, then, just like they're dipping the knife on the 13th, because they're assuming that they're going to bring the Korban Pesach betara, why did they dip the kofitz on the 13th? Because they also should assume that they're going to bring the Korban Pesach betara, and therefore there's going to be a chagigah. Therefore, they're going to need to cut the bones, and therefore they should have dipped the kofitz. So why didn't the Mishnah say that if you find it on the 14th, the kofitz, you have to assume that it was not dipped? Why? If a case is talking about where the Nasi didn't die till the 14th. Good. So it means on the 13th, they were assuming that they're going to bring the Korban Pesach. Just like they thought they were going to bring the Korban Pesach betahara, they should have assumed they're going to bring the Hagigah as well. So therefore, they should have dipped the Sakin, which they did, then as well as the Kofitz. So why, if you find the Kofitz on your Dalid, do you have to re-dip it? So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Lo tzericha denasi goses b'shloshasar. We're talking about a case where the Nasi was a goses, which means
you know, teetering back and forth. He was on his deathbed, we'll say, which means he was breaths away from mitah. That was on the 13th, and therefore it was very assumed that he's going to die, and therefore the Pesach is going to be brought betumah. So therefore, sakin, when it comes to the knife, techad sefeka batbila. Regarding the knife on the 13th, let's analyze what goes through the thought process of this owner of the knife. He says, listen, we might bring the Korban Pesach, betahara, if this Nasi doesn't die, Nasi of the Sanhedrin, but if he does die today, then we're going to bring it betumah, and I don't have to dip the knife. So he has a safek. Is the Nasi going to die or not? That's only one safek. Now, this safek is going to affect Korban Pesach, meaning, if he dies, then the Klais is going to be Timi'im, you don't have to dip the knife. Because Korban Pesach is brought betumah. If he doesn't die, you need this knife to be taor. So one safek, the guy is going to dip the knife on the 13th. However, kofitz, the tres safeke lo matbila. But the kofitz on the 13th, he has two reasons not to dip it. Number one, the nasi might die. The nasi dies, so it's betumah, the Korban Pesach, there is no hagigah. You don't need a kofitz to cut any bones. Furthermore, even if the nasi doesn't die, could be, I still won't have to bring a Korban Hagigah, because I'm going to have a lot of meat from the Korban Pesach alone. And therefore it's like a Safek Sefeka. Safek, the Nasi dies, and therefore the Korban Pesach is brought into Mahad. If I don't need a Korban Hagigah, I don't bring a Korban Hagigah, if I don't need a Kofitz. Even if you want to tell me that the Nasi is not going to die, maybe I'm still not going to bring a Hagigah, because I'm going to have a lot of meat of the Korban Pesach. So therefore, when you find the Kofitz on the 14th, you have to assume that what? In a case where the Nasi was a Goses on the 13th, you have to assume that he dipped the knife, because it's only one Safek, but he did not dip the Kofitz, because it's a fixa, therefore you'd have to dip the kofitz again. So basically, the Gemara tried to prove that this Mishnah is going like Ben Tema, and tried to say that the law of Hagigah also is subject to the law of Etzim Lotish Berubo. But the Gemara said that you could reject that and say, no, this Mishnah is even going like the rabbis, and the reason why you don't, that you have to dip the kofitz on the 14th, is because we're in a specific scenario. We're talking about where the nasi was a goses on the 13th. And therefore, since the guy has two reasons to believe that he's not going to need the korban hagigah, therefore misafik is not going to dip his kofitz. Therefore, when you find it on the 14th, you would have to re-dip it. Mashiach in the second way, he only has one safek. Is the nasi going to die or not? Therefore, one safek, he will dip his knife. Therefore, you could assume the sakin on the 14th is taor. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanya, we have a braita. Yehuda ben Tortai Piresh. A rabbi called Yehuda ben Tortai, he left the Hakamimu. He was one that left and separated himself from the Hakamim. Again, Yehuda ben Tortai Piresh. He separated from the Hakamim. Who? He moved away. V'Dortai Beno. And his son, Dortai. Why? Because we learned that the Hakamim said that Hagigat Arba Asar is not Duhay Shabbat. However, he held that the Hagigah of Arba Asar is indeed Duhay Shabbat. So he went to the south, far away from Yerushalayim, during a year that the 14th of Nisan fell out on Shabbat, because he did not want to be obligated to go up to the Regel in order to be Hayav in Korban Pesach and Korban Hagigah, because he held that what Korban Hagigah is Duhay Shabbat. And therefore, he wanted to exempt himself from this obligation by being far away from Yerushalayim, because he knew that they're not going to let him bring the Korban Hagigah, because the rabbi said that Korban Hagigah Yudal is not Dohe Shabbat. So what did he do? He moved far away. The thing is, if you're far away from Yerushalayim, Derech Rechoka, so therefore you do not have to bring Korban Pesach. Obviously, you're not in Yerushalayim, you don't have to bring the Korban Hagigah as well. Amar, and then Yehuda ben Tortai said, Im yavo Eliyahu. If Eliyahu Navi comes, the Yomar Lehem the Israel is going to ask the Jewish people, Mepenemalo Hagatem Hagigah b'Shabbat. How come you didn't bring the Korban Hagigah on Shabbat, when the 14th of Nisan fell on Shabbat? Ma'en Omrim Lo, what are they going to answer him?
Temehani al shene gedolei ador. I am shocked that the two great rabbis of the generation, Shemaya v'Avtalion, she'en hachamim gedolim, they're great rabbis, v'darshanim gedolim, and they're also great darshanim, ve'lo amru lahem liYisrael hagigah doha et haShabbat, and they did not teach Bnei Yisrael that the hagigah is indeed doches Shabbat. So that was Yehuda ben Tortai's reasoning. He says, they're obligated to bring the hagigah on Shabbat. He says, and I don't know what Shemaya and Avtalion are going to answer Eliyahu HaNavi if he comes and asks, how come they did not do it? So Amar Rav, my Tamad Ben Dortai, what's the reason of Ben Dortai that says that Hagigat Yudal is Doche Shabbat Dichtiv? Because it says Vezavachta Pesach LaHashem Eloheka Tzon Ubakar. So you bring the Korban Pesach Tzon Ubakar. The Gemara asks, "V'halo en pesachim elam menakivasim v'na'izim." What are you talking about? Korban pesach only comes from tzon, meaning from the small animals like the sheep and the goats. Ela tzon. So why does it say bakar? Ela tzon ze pesach. Tzon is referring to the korban pesach. Bakar zu hagiga, and the bakar referring to the hagiga of the arba asar that comes with the korban pesach that can be brought even from bakar, the bigger animals. And it's coming to tell you, it's putting them together. And therefore, just like the Pesach is Dochei Shabbat, Hagigat Yodah, which is brought from bakar, is also Dochei Shabbat. So that's Rav's giving the reason for Ben Dortai. Amar Rav Asher. So Rav Asher comes along and says, do we have to answer these people that have separated from the rabbis? Which means, what are you going to explain the Pesukim according to them for? Who cares what they hold? Which is, they're arguing on the majority opinion. So Rav Asher was saying to Rav, what are you going out of your way to try to interpret the Sivara and the logic of these people? Leave them alone. Ela kla lichterav nachmanu da'atarat pasuk of tzonu bakar. We have a different derasha. What's the difference in Rasha? The Amar of Nachman Amar of Baba Rabu. Minayin lemotar haPesach shekarev shelamim. How do you know that the remnants of Korban Pesach are brought as a Korban shelamim? What's the case? For example, let's say a person, he designated a sheep for Korban Pesach, and then the sheep got lost. So he brought another animal in its stead. And then they found the first one. So that's called Motar HaPesach. The deen is that Motar HaPesach is brought as a Korban Shelamim. Or let's say, he designated monies in order to buy Korban Pesach. So therefore, the monies have now Kedushat Pesach. And then let's say the price of sheep went down. And therefore, he had leftover money to do something else with it. So that money is called Motar HaPesach. The deen is you take that leftover money that was originally designated for Pesach, and you buy a Korban Shelamim. So how do you know Motar HaPesach, you buy, you use it as a Korban Shelamim? Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, Vezavachta Pesach LaHashem Elohecha Tzon Ubakar. It says you'll bring from the Korban Pesach Tzon Ubakar. V'chi Pesach with a Bakar ba? We know Pesach doesn't come from Bakar. It only comes from Tzon. So why does the Pasuk say Tzon Ubakar? V'halo en Pesach ba'ela menakev asim v'na'izim. It only comes from the sheep and the goats, which is Tzon. Ela motar ha-Pesach yehel ledavar haba mena Tzon u'mena Bakar. So the Hadush of the Pasuk is that saying, you're right, Korban Pesach only comes from Tzon. But motar ha-Pesach comes even from Bakar. Meaning, if let's say you designated the Korban Pesach, and then you lost that one, you bought a different one in its stead, and then you found the first one, so that first one has a deen of a shelamim, and therefore you could bring it from Bakar. Or that leftover money that you had from what you designated for the Korban Pesach, and you bought a Korban Pesach, there was leftover money, that money is brought as a shelamim, meaning you could bring it as Bakar. So therefore, the Gemara is telling you, leave Ben Dotai's derasha. His derasha is not accepted. We use that word, Tzon Ubakar, for something else. Comes the Gemara and says, V'rabbanan, my ta'amal lo dachei Shabbat. The Gemara says, why shouldn't the Korban Hagigad Yudale dachei Shabbat? Ha'vadai Korban Siburu, which means it's a Korban Sibur. meaning everybody in Israel is chayav to bring this, and it has a set time, and normally a korban that's brought by the sibur, that everybody's chayav to bring, and it has a set time, so therefore it's usually Dochei Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Elahav Meshub Rabbi Yehuda ben Safra, Amar Kera, because the Bazook says, V'chagotem oto hag la'ashem shevaat yamim bashana. Regarding the Korban Chagigah that comes on Sukkot, it says, you will bring the Korban Chagigah 7 days. So the Gemara says, Shiva. Why only 7 days? Shemunavu. We know that Sukkot is 8 days. You have 7 days of Sukkot and 1 day of Shemini Atzeret. And we know that it's possible a person can bring his Chagigah of Sukkot even on Shemini Atzeret. So why does the Pasuk say you only have 7 days? You really have 8 days. Elamikan, Chagigah Shein Aduhat HaShabbat. From here you see that what? That Chagigah is not Dochei Shabbat. So again, the Gemara is questioning why did the rabbis hold a regular Korban Chagigah? Not only the Korban Chagigah, Yudalid, a regular Korban Chagigah. Why isn't it Dochei Shabbat? So they learn it from this Pasuk. It says, you'll bring the Chagigah for 7 days. Why 7 days? 8 days. Ela no. We learn from there that it's only 7 days, because in the 8 days of Shemini Atzeret, you always have one Shabbat. And therefore, you'll only bring it, the Torah is saying, for 7 out of the 8. Teaching that one of the days is Asur. Which day is Asur? Must be Shabbat, is Asur to bring Korban Chagigah. Ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said, Amar ti lefne rabotai, I asked the question in front of my rabbis, Pahamim shiata motzei la shisha. So what do you mean? Sometimes you'll only be able to bring the Korban Chagigah and Sukkot only for 6 days. Kegon shechal yom tov lishon shel chag b'Shabbat. If the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbat, so therefore you're going to have two Shabbatot on Sukkot, the first and the last day. That means you'll only have 6 days in between. So therefore he asked, where did you learn over here when it says V'hagotem oto shvaat yamim? It's not 7 days. According to your logic, it can even be 6 days. So what kind of derasha is this? He asked. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Abin tekala lema kiya milta. Rav Avin, the Shakul, that's the one that lost his children in his lifetime. So Abaye nicknamed him Avin Takala. Avin, the one that lost his children in his lifetime, is going to say something like this? That's not a question. Shemona lo mashkachat la klal. Well, the reason why the Torah didn't say 8 days, because 8 days could never happen, because you're always going to have at least one Shabbat in 8 days. Shiva ita berov shanim, and 7 days is going to happen in the majority of years. Granted, sometimes it'll be 6 days when Shabbat is the first day of the holiday, but since that is not the majority of cases, the Torah just discussed the majority of cases. But it can be a case sometimes of 6, but the Torah chose 7 because that is the more prevalent case. So therefore, we learn from over here that from the pasuk that says "V'hagotem oto shivaat yamim," that it's only brought 7 out of the 8 to teach you that on Shabbat you do not bring korban hagigah. That is the source for the hakamim. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.